Take your Bibles and be turning with me to the book of John again this morning. Book of John and the fourth chapter. What we have looked at previously, we have seen that Jesus came to Joseph's well in Samaria, outside a city of Samaria, and he sat down and rested a while. And while he rested, a woman of Samaria came at high noon. A strange time of day for women to be going to the well to draw water. That just was not necessarily heard of. But as we go on and we see what kind of woman this woman of Samaria was, then we will understand better why she was there at the time of day that she was there. But she came to the well to draw water. That was her purpose in coming there. And Jesus startled her. I mean, she would have been startled. She would have been taken back. Because he said, not just said, he commanded her to give me to drink. And she denotes her fact that she was startled by being consumed with the idea that he, being a Jew, noted by his speech and his dress, would have given him away, that he, being a Jew, was even talking to her, let alone asking or commanding a favor of her. And she said, How can it be that thou, being a Jew, askest of me, a Samaritan, for water? Jesus had a strange way of answering her question. He said, if thou knew the gift of God and who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him living water, and he would have given living water to thee. The woman saw, showing that she was still consumed with the physical, with what she could perceive with her eyes and see with her eyes. She could see that he was a Jew and that he was talking to her. He had asked of her water. And she still shows the fact that she is still consumed with the physical by her response, by saying, sir, you don't have a rope and a bucket, and the well is deep. How are you going to get that water out of the well? Are you greater showing her lack of knowledge of who it was that she was speaking with. As Jesus had said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that gives you that gift. She said, are you greater than Jacob, our father, which gave us this well and drank of this well? And not only did he drink of this well, but his children drank of this well, and his cattle drank of this well. Are you greater than him? In fact, he was. In fact, he was the ever-living God. He was Jacob's creator. He was Jacob's God. And then in verse 13, Jesus answered her and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water that your attention is upon, your attention is on this well, your attention is upon things that are earthly, things that are physical. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. You drink of the water of this world, the things of this world, and you're going to thirst again. They don't satisfy. They don't quench your thirst. Oh, they might quench. They might satisfy momentarily. But it's not long. You're yearning for them again. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. A well of water of everlasting life. So as we come to this verse, verse 14, and the point is that satisfaction of the soul. We see satisfaction here. Jesus is proclaiming satisfaction to the one that drinks of his water, the water that he shall give, the one who has asked of him, and he gives living water. The one who asked of him and received is now satisfied. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The believer, he now has a well of living water within him. Ever fresh, ever flowing, ever springing up towards its source. Whoso drinketh, whosoever drinketh. Think about that for a minute. You got to love the whosoever's of the Word of God. Whosoever drinketh. What was it in John chapter 3 and verse 16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever will believe in Him. Shall have everlasting life, shall not perish. Turn with me to the book of John, or 1 John. The book of 1 John in chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. But it doesn't stop there. There's not a period there. I say that because there are many that say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe that He's the Christ. Well, let's go on. The one who truly believes that Jesus is the Christ, that Jesus is the anointed of God, that Jesus is the sent one of God and sent for a particular purpose, and that particular purpose was for redemption of His people, He manifests that He is truly a believer. So whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat, who's the begatter? Up in the previous phrase, born of God. God is the begatter. You must love God as well. Loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You see, you not only believe that Jesus is the Christ, the sent one of God, but you believe and you love God, and you manifest that love for God and for His Son, Jesus Christ, by loving those who also are begotten of God. In other words, we call them brothers and sisters in Christ. If you've been begotten of God, if you're a believer in Jesus the Christ, and love Him that begat you, then you love me. And you love all those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and that love God. Whosoever, blessed phrase, whosoever believeth. He said, whosoever drinketh. What is drinking? It's attending to a sensed need. I sense that I'm thirsty. I have a need for water. And so I drink. It is a personal act of assigning to a particular need an exclusion of all others. I am thirsty. I'm not hungry. I'm thirsty. I need something to drink. I don't need food. I don't need entertainment. I don't need anything else. I need drink because I am thirsty. It is a taking unto myself that which was previously without me. I hadn't had drink for a while, and I have grown thirsty. And the only way I'm going to satisfy that thirst is to get a drink.
And just put a plug in here for water. There's nothing that quenches thirst like water. You might be a soda drinker or whatever else, but water is the best thirst quencher. It is the best hydrator. It's what God created. It's what God made. It's what God gave us for our bodies. Well, he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him. I want to stop right there. I want you to notice something else. He said, that I shall give him. Not water that you draw out of this well. Not water that you go to the spigot and you turn it on and you get yourself a glass of water. Not that water. Not the water that another might give you. Another might give you a glass of water here in a little bit. Go sit down somewhere and I'll ask for water with lemon. Because some city water has a funky taste and lemon helps cover that up. You see? Not water that someone else has given me, but that he gives. There's the distinction. Men all over this world are drinking of the water that they draw, the water that others give them, but they're not drinking of the water that Jesus gives to them. Jesus said in the book of John, in chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus. It's Jesus only. And it's of the water that he gives. Turn with me to the 17th chapter. Jesus is the only way. Verse 1 of chapter 17, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him, the Son, power over all flesh, the Son should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Jesus has a people. Now he's giving living water too. And you must receive this living water of Jesus. You must drink of the living water. Drinketh. Our text said drinketh. Whosoever drinketh. It denotes he drinks and he continues to drink and he continues to drink. He continues to drink of the water that Jesus gives. And there's satisfaction in his soul. The water that he shall give is eternal life. As noted in verse 2 of chapter 17 of John. That he should give eternal life. Jesus gives eternal life. That is the water that he has given. It's not bought. It's not earned. It's not won. Turn with me to the book of Acts. The book of Acts in chapter 8. And verse 20. Acts chapter 8 and verse 20. But Peter said unto him, that is unto Simon, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God... Jesus said to the woman at the well, the woman of Samaria said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that gives that gift, they asked of him. And Peter says to Simon, he said, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Your gift, your money perisheth. Can't buy the gift of God. It can't buy the living water that Jesus is talking about. It can't buy that which Jesus gives, because it is a gift. And he gives it. First Peter in chapter 1, in verse 18. 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, for as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, it was a gift. It wasn't purchased, but with the precious blood of Christ, he gave it. As of a lamb without blemish, and without spot. It is received as a gift. It is received as the gift of God. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Probably everyone here, or at least everyone here, should be able to quote it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is a gift. God is the giver, is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should be boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So it is received as a gift. The gift of God, the gift of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and belief in Him. And he said, whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Shall never thirst. Well, here the Lord is speaking concerning the fullness of the gift given. The fullness of it. It's a full and complete gift. Shall never thirst. It speaks of our enjoyment of it. It speaks of the way in which faith maintains us fellowship with the giver. Faith, belief in Him. And our continued faith, our continued believing in Him, our continued drinking. Continues in fellowship with Him. And He said, shall never thirst. this thought of never thirst, what does it mean to never thirst? I said, well, I'll never be thirsty again. What does that mean? Does not that mean that there is satisfaction? You're satisfied. You're not just satisfied now. You're satisfied forever. Continuing on. It denotes a portion that is satisfying. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 63. And look with me here at, well, we'll read verses 3 through 5. Psalms 63, and verses 3 through 5. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow, as with fatness to the bones. That's what marrow is to the bones. It is life-giving portion that flows through the bones. It is said to moisten the bones. It fattens the bones. And fatness. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, and look at chapter 58. Isaiah 58, and look with me at verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. See that? And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. You that are saved, you that are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is your soul satisfied in drought? This land that we live in, this world that we live in is said to be a land of drought. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied with that which the Lord has to give? The Lord's blessing? And make fat thy bones. He shall satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a water garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Have you experienced that of the Lord? I have. God's people do. We experience that. We experience that satisfaction. I have Jesus. God is my Father. I'm feasting on Him. I'm feasting upon His riches. I don't thirst. He takes care of that. Going back, just thinking a minute. Psalms 42. Maybe I shouldn't go here now, but that's okay. The psalmist said, as the heart, verse 1 of chapter 42 of Psalm, as the heart panteth after water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. The only thing I thirst for is God and the things of God. That's where we find real satisfaction. That's where we find real delight. That's where we find real joy. That's where we find real peace. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? You see, that's the only thing that we thirst for. We thirst for more of God, more of His will, more of His way. Now, get back on subject here. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah in chapter 31. Jeremiah 31 and verse 14. Verse 14 of Jeremiah chapter 31 says, "And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord." Oh, He's so good. He's so good. He's so wonderful. He fills my every need. How can I help but be satisfied? He satiates me with fatness. I am satisfied. It never thirsts proclaims what? Never thirsts. This water that Jesus shall give, and drinking of that water that He shall give, shall never thirst. We already said it, water signified the eternal life. Speaks of eternal security, or the security of the believer. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms in chapter 37. And look with me at verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, notice, though I fall into sin daily, I sin, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. He shall not perish. He shall be not cast into condemnation. He shall not perish. For the Lord upholdeth. The Lord grabs him by the hand and holds him up. Pulls him up. That sin. Yes, He does. If we don't repent of it, He chastens us. He might even have to scourge us. But nonetheless, He holds us up. He doesn't let us perish. And He delighteth in His way. Look at verse 28. The Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not His saints. He doesn't forsake us. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked, another thing, the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Turn with me to the book of John in chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 24. I believe this was one of, as preachers tend to say, this is my favorite verse. This is this is a favorite verse of mine, meaning this is one of my favorites. And this is one of my favorites, as I believe it was one of Brother Francis' favorites. He mentioned it quite frequently. Verse 24 of John chapter 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth," note the tense of that verb, it is an ever-present tense, "he hears and he keeps on hearing my word." What's he hear? He hears God's word. He hears the words of Jesus. "And believeth," notice the tense of that verb, it's an ever-present tense. He believes and he keeps on believing. In other words, he hears and he keeps on hearing, and he believes and he keeps on believing on him that sent me, hath, present tense, right now, the moment he hears and believes and continues to hear and believe, he hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. He has everlasting life. How long is everlasting life? Forevermore. Never to come to an end. That's eternal security, brethren. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Look at verse 28. Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life." There's that phrase again, eternal life. That's eternal security. "And they shall never perish." That's eternal security. "Neither shall and pluck them out of my hand." That's eternal security. "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." That is eternal security. "I and my Father are one." We're well preserved, are we not? We're well preserved in the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1. In verse 21. "Now he which establisheth you." Establisheth us. Establisheth. Notice the tense of the verb. It is a verb that means to make firm or to confirm. How long does it mean? It's an ever-present tense. Continually. Continually. No end in sight. "Now he establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us," is God. It's not God, as some men call God, but it is the God. It is the sovereign God. It is the creator God. It is the omnipotent God, the all-powerful God, the almighty God, the ever-living God, who hath also sealed us. If that wasn't secure enough, being God making us firm, God confirming us, establishing us, "who hath also sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts." He's given us a down payment in the Holy Spirit, His Holy Spirit. He's given us a down payment to guarantee our arrival into the presence of God. You can't get more secure than God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 says that we are kept by the power of God. You see, it's not by the water that I draw. It's not by the water that someone else gave me, but it's by the water that Jesus gives. And He is the Almighty God, all-powerful God. This gift, this living water, is present possession. As we noted in John chapter 5 and verse 24, the moment we hear and believe and continue in that, we are in possession of everlasting life right now. This living water that Jesus was talking about, He's given it to us. We're drinking of it. It's imparted by grace. Simply meaning it wasn't earned. It wasn't paid for with silver and gold. It was paid for with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a gift that is freely given to us. And it's something within the believer. It's within me. It's within you if you're saved today. Back to our text, the book of John in chapter 4 and verse 14, looking at the last half of that verse. But the water that I shall give him shall bring him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. It is a well of water ever springing, ever flowing with eternal life. Praise God. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Verses, begin reading verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, that is his Father. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Do you abide in Christ? And I in you. Do you abide in Christ? Is He abiding in you? As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You see, the fact of us abiding in Him and He abiding in us is borne out in the fruit that we bear. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Look at what the Holy Spirit said to the Galatians through the pen of the Apostle Paul in chapter 2 of Galatians in verse 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What was Paul affirming here? Well, he was affirming the passage we read in John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5. He's abiding in Christ, and Christ is abiding in him, and so the life lives is bearing that forth. He's bearing fruit. He's manifesting that he is one who has drank of the water that Jesus gives, and he's never thirsty again. He's satisfied. It is a well a water ever flowing, ever bubbling, springing up within him, and gives fruits of everlasting life. Do you have the water that Jesus was talking about? Are you drinking of the water that Jesus gave, that Jesus gives? Do you have eternal life? Has he given you eternal life through repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Shall we have a stand and have a song of singing?